Welcome to another edition of the Ultimate Fighter Rundown. I am Torch editor Jamie Pennick, joined once again by Tough 10 contestant Zach Jensen. Zach, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Now, Zach, this fourth episode this week featured a fight between Brendan Schaub and D'Amico Rogers, and was really, of the four fights we've seen thus far, it was by far the best, which isn't saying much because the first three fights didn't have a whole lot to offer by way of excitement or anything in that front, but we had a solid fight between Schaub and D'Amico that saw Schaub pick up the victory here, and this episode was really about Rampage being shown as the coach that he is, and when I say that, I mean he's not one. You were there. What was your experience with Rampage, honestly, here? Because we're seeing more and more of what his coaching style was. What was that like for you?
Well, I'm going to say he's a great guy and great fighter, but he is not a great coach, and that's, you know, by his own self-admission, too. So, I mean, it was nice to be part of the team and get to know him, especially, you know, watch him fight all the time. And it was a cool opportunity, and it was great, but the coaching aspect of him is definitely not, it's subpar, you know. I said Tom Blackledge is a great coach. You know, he helped us. Vladimir Perez Jr. was our jiu-jitsu coach. He was a really good jiu-jitsu coach. And we had a great wrestling coach in Hector Ramirez. And Tiki, you know, is a great striker, so he helped us with that, too. But it's, you know, when you got a goofball leading them, it tends to lead to some issues.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of disrespect towards D'Amico Rogers on this episode show. And I mean, they showed up, like you had pointed out, 20 minutes before the fight to help him warm up, which it was nothing basically. And then when he lost, it was a tough fight and a tough loss, and when he lost, Rampage didn't let any of the guys go in after him, and Rashad was there to comfort him.
Well, even up to that point, the first three people that were eliminated, we never, as a team, went up in the cage. So that wasn't anything different, as, you know, the fighters being up there. But the coaches, you know, weren't up there either. The only person they comforted after a loss was Kimbo to that point. So it was definitely interesting at that. And then just kind of how in the closed-door meeting he said he couldn't take this anymore. And it's just, I don't know. Like I said, he's a great guy, great fighter, but the coaching aspect is definitely not there with him.
Yeah, it seemed in this episode that, like you said, they were there comforting Kimbo, and they were already talking to Kimbo about possibly having a fight if someone gets injured. So it already seemed to be that in Rampage's mind it was made up that this is about Kimbo for me and not any of the other guys.
That's being there, you see it, and we kind of just like, well, you know, he's, you know, comforting Kimbo and that, and it's hard to like put everything together while you're there with what's going on. So, because you're still focused on what you want to do and what your goal is and why you're there individually. So now that it's been July was when we were done filming, and this fight happened in June. So that's 4 months. We've been able to like think about it and kind of just, and then seeing it again just brings up all the stuff that you're feeling that was going on there, and now you can actually kind of voice your opinion more so than you could while you were there, because you're more focused on what you're supposed to be doing. So it's interesting. Like, I think I'm not saying this stuff to be mean. It's just, I'm just saying it how it is. So.
Yeah, and obviously having a chance to look back at these episodes and the way that stuff's coming off, when you're there, you're thinking about what you need to do, because you've got a fight that you have to win whenever your name is called. You've got to worry about yourself there, and actually seeing the conversations and other things that were going on around you at the time that you weren't taking heed of, it definitely sheds a different light on the subject.
definitely. Like, that's why in some of the things, I wrote something for Cage Rider. I write a weekly thing for them. And I got a little guff for some of my comments on that, saying, why didn't I ever say it to Rampage's face? I'm like, well, I really wasn't thinking about it then, because I was focused on, you know, like I said before, like what I was supposed to be doing. Now that I see it all and had time to think about it, and I'm not in the middle of it, I can kind of voice my opinion a little more.
We got some more on Marcus Jones here, and how he was with training. You equated him to being a kid in a candy store a little bit, with just getting a little overexcited, a little overzealous with his sparring and just training overall, and they were making it out to seem like he was going to hurt someone in practice. But what was it like training with Marcus Jones when he's kind of like just a big kid going into that?
Well, every time we sparred, we were, you know, when you had to go against Marcus, it was kind of like, okay, is he going to know that we're doing, let's say we're doing tech sparring, then like, is he really going to just tech spar, or are we going to have to like worry for, you know, like the big leg kick or, you know, an overhand right that connects, or, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, if it happened once, we'd be like, you know, hey, just, you know, we're not going 100 here. We're, you know, we're going about 50-60% just to work on technique. And if we are doing like normal full sparring, then it's, you know, then we were expecting it, but he's so big, he just doesn't know how strong he is. And that was the weirdest thing. And his hips, like you saw me get caught in that arm bar when we were rolling, we had 16-ounce gloves on. So it was definitely interesting to get put in an arm bar when I don't have hands. So it's hard to get out of that. No, but
yeah.
It's definitely, we had to be more wary when we were working with Marcus than anyone. Not because he meant to do it, it's just that's just, you know, how he is.
Now, looking back on these episodes and seeing a little bit of the way that Rashad and his camp was training their guys, do you sometimes wish that you would have gotten to experience Greg Jackson and all those guys and the way Rashad was engaged with his team and kind of just the way that their training seemed to have been going compared to what you got to experience?
Well, I would have loved to, you know, going back and looking at when I was there, I was like, you know, I'm part of Team Rampage, you know, I'm sticking with it, you know, this is where I got picked, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, waver in that. But if I, you know, I would love the opportunity to go work with Greg Jackson. If someone wouldn't, they're an idiot. I mean, he's one of the greatest MMA coaches there is. I mean, they refer to him as the Yoda of MMA for a reason, you know. He comes up with great game plans, you know. I mean, you got Keith Jardine, Rashad Evans, GSP, Nate Marquardt, Shane Carwin, and even Anderson Silva's going to go there and do like a 10-day training camp. So, Andrei Arlovsky is. And it's just ridiculous how much knowledge that man has. And then you have people like Phil Nurse, they had come in. They had Coach T, Van Arsdale. I mean, they had great coaches coming in. So I would love to, you know, have that opportunity to go work with them now. But being in the house, I was definitely, you know, 100%, you know, behind Rampage, because that's who my coach was, you know, for better or for worse.
All right, well, we've got four fights down, and unfortunately for your team, it was an 0-4 start here, and we're going to be looking forward to seeing if the rest of you guys can pick up some victories here, so it's not a full Team Rashad sweep in the first round. Any other final thoughts on this fourth episode and anything to look forward to for next week's show?
You know, it was definitely a better fight than the previous three, but like I said, I wasn't saying much. It definitely it gets more interesting and more exciting the more episodes it goes into. Like the fights coming up and the fights after that are definitely there's no snoozers, so it definitely picks up. I know Dana was saying it picks up after the third fight, but it really picks up after this one. So it'll be good to watch, and I'm interested to see, you know, what happens with the lead-in preview they put up at the end of the show. So I'm going to be at the edge of my seat for that one.
All right, Zach. Well, we will talk to you again next week after the fifth episode airs.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye.